What is up, everybody? Today on the show is Estelle Piper, who you might know as the Taste the Biscuit lady. You know, Taste the Biscuit. I ain't gonna sing it because nobody can sing like Estelle because she is the greatest. I really love Estelle a lot. Way more talented than just way more to her, way more depth than the Taste the Biscuit lady. Look her up. Google Estelle Piper, and she's our partner, Tom Shaw. But you'll see Estelle's done a lot in her life in the entertainment field. And I, you know, just revamping this podcast, it never really went away. I just kind of sporadically posted episodes. But now I'm going to, you know, get it back underway. And what better way to do it than starting off with Estelle Piper. And check them out. They do a live stream, her and Tom Shaw together, like we talk about it in the interview, but you can usually catch them. I always seem to catch them on Tuesdays around noon. I'm on Mountain Time. They're both in California, so take that into consideration before you know, when you're trying to find them. If they're doing it noon there, you know, you have to kind of, if you're on the East Coast, it's going to be 3 o'clock, whatever. You know how it is. You know how time works. I don't have to explain how time works because I don't know. But anyway, I appreciate everybody being back here on Southern Man Western Town. And again, why is that this show called that? Of course, I am from the Atlanta, Georgia area, born in South Carolina. And I now reside in Utah, which I've been here quite a while now, playing music. What else? What else am I going to do? What else are you going to do? It's all you've ever done. What are you going to do? Excuse me. I don't mean to cough on my own show. But anyway, it's that time of year. Got them allergies popping in here in April. Just had a birthday on Friday, April 5th. Today is April 7th. It was okay. I mean, I've never seemed to have good birthdays. I was in the hospital on a birthday or two. I usually work. This year it was, I don't know, it was kind of strange. I actually had the day off of work, which I didn't ask for. They just kind of gave it to me anyway. And then I just kind of sat around by myself. It was a Friday during the day, so, you know, everybody I know is out either at work or, you know, I don't have a ton of friends outside of the music business in Utah. I got a few, but, you know, not a lot. I mean, it's kind of hard being a guy that works all week and then plays music on the weekends. You don't really hang out a lot. Like, I'm not going to I don't hang out and watch the football games or whatever with the guys and drink six packs and stuff. So I had a gig on my birthday too. I had a show that night, which didn't turn out to be much of a show. It's kind of weird. We went up and played at the White House by O'Shucks up in Park City, where I'm basically the house band on Friday nights, which kind of comes to an end this coming Friday on the 12th, if you're in the Park City area. It's kind of a strange place because it's a nice place, a nice stage, and it's owned by O'Shucks, who has quite a few locations. But they won't let them put a sign up because of it. It's on the historical marker. Or I don't know. It has a historical marker. It's on the historical society. So you can't put a sign up anywhere. So a lot of people don't even know we're there. They don't even know it's a bar. They've got an O'Shucks neon sign in the window. Sometimes we get a good crowd, but felt kind of weird because my friend Allie and my friend Jim and his son Patrick came up, and wasn't really anybody there but them. I kind of felt bad for them because I know they were only there because they knew it was my birthday, and they felt bad for me that nobody was there, and they kind of stayed longer than they wanted to, and I don't know. I kind of felt bad for them, but they're good friends. I mean, showing up for me like that. Allie gave me a plant. Nobody's ever given me a plant before. I hope I can take care of it. I hope I can show it the respect it deserves. And then the night after that, we had a show at the Lighthouse Lounge, which is like a block from my house. And we had a good crowd there. And my good friend Dave came, and he plays in Never Enough band. He came up and did a Black Sabbath song with us. And my friend Patty was there. My books the bar and plays himself. He's a great singer, songwriter himself. We got a lot of shows. I got more. I figured I would be done by now. I thought by the time I was 40, I'd be out of the music business. And I don't even want to say my age, but it's lower than 60, but above 40. Figure it out, people. But anyway, I thought I'd be done. I got more shows now than I've ever had. I mean, I think I've got 60 shows on the books right now. And I'm just a local Utah musician at this point. Basically playing in three bands. I say three bands. I got J-Law and Warhorse, my main band. We're just a cover tune band. I got my CCR tribute band, Tombstone Shadow. But now I'm probably going to be singing for a band called The Elders. Their singer's gone, so we'll see how that goes. And then I'm going to be putting out some original music really soon. Probably one song with a violinist. There'll be more information on that. I'll give it to you. I don't have the date yet, but I'm going to record it up here in Ogden with a friend of mine's studio here. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody's looking forward to spring. It snowed a little bit this weekend here, but I mean, that's just the Mountain West. You don't really get spring like you do back in the Southeast, or probably even the Northeast. I don't know how the Northeast is right now, but it comes a little later and don't stay as long. But anyway, back to Estelle Piper. Check out all of everything she's got going on. Check out the live streams. Get a cameo from them. They're not going to charge you the amount that a lot of the huge, what you call, quote-unquote, A-list stars are going to charge you. And it's going to be thoughtful, and it's going to be good and entertaining, as always. Check out all the, I know you've all seen the Taste the Biscuit thing, the memes and all the craziness that it gets turned into. Even the sexual connotations, which we didn't get into. I should ask her about that, but I don't want to get into that. It's not important. They don't have any control over what people do with the Taste the Biscuit. But anyway, coming up next, my interview with Estelle Piper. All right, joining me is the great Estelle Piper. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jeff. I'm really glad to be online with you here.
Oh, I appreciate you. Appreciate you calling in. So I'm probably going to ask you some questions that other people, I mean, that I already know the answers to, but a lot of people may not know, but, and then we'll kind of backtrack a little too, but, So a lot of people nowadays, of course, know you as the Taste the Biscuit Lady. So,
which is amazing to me, I swear, because it was 14 years ago that we did that.
So how is that to you though? You seem to take it. You seem to really enjoy it. I know a lot of people would probably consider it a bit of a albatross, maybe, but you really embrace it. And
so, well, thank you. It's funny. When we did it, it was both Tom. You know, Tom Shaw plays Moose and I play Toasters, this 70s era, you know, singing duo that has one hit, one album, and then, you know, that's it. And then 30 years later, they get together for this reunion that's hilariously pathetic. And, you know, at the time, I wanted to get some camera work and get some experience. So I auditioned for this role, and the character description, it was on some casting website. There's a long character description, and at the very end it says, actually, her voice really isn't that bad. And I thought, okay, I think I can pull that off. Because I'm confident with acting, and I love to sing, but I am actually not that confident singing. And I was literally terrified, because we had all these live performances in the film, you know, in front of open mics or whatever. And at one point my ex at the time turned to me, and you know, he was kind of a singer, and he said, Estelle, these songs are not easy to sing. And I went, oh, thank God, I think. but it was our first, you know, indie film, each of us, and it was kind of one of Vincent Gargiulo, who is the director and creator of all this. He wrote the script, the music, the lyrics. And he's continued to be prolific with a whole bunch of other projects since. And occasionally, you know, dips back into the Toasters and Moose thing because, as he says, I keep trying to kill you guys off, but you keep coming back.
Yeah, social media won't let you go away.
No, and so, you know, as this thing sort of developed over time, I kept looking at it as, you know, good experience and whatnot. And then when we went crazy viral in July of 2022, I mean, like on my birthday, I was like, whoa. And as that developed and we got, you know, interviewed by Rolling Stone and celebrities reposted our video, you know, like Snoop Dogg and Pee Wee Herman and all these guys. And my theater friends looked a little askance at it. I got to be honest. Like, well, I'm happy for you. I don't quite understand it, but you know, And I'm sort of looking up at the heavens going, okay, I've played Prospero in The Tempest. I've played Kate in Taming of the Shrew. I've played Eleanor in The Lion in Winter and blah, blah, blah. But it's going to be Taste the Biscuit.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I didn't even know. I mean, I'm probably like a lot of people. When I first saw it, I didn't realize that it actually even came from a movie. I was like, these people actually have a gig in this store. And I was like, what's going on here? And I was like, it's not that bad, but why are they singing about biscuits in this clothing store? Like,
so many people posted that and said, I have so many questions.
But then you go back and watch the movie on YouTube, and then you get it all makes sense.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, then it all just, you know, you get the context for all of that. But the funny thing is, you know, it's not a done deal yet. So, but it seems like it's going to go forward. Apparently, Tom and I and Vincent are going to go to Arkansas and shoot a commercial for Arkansas Goodwill Stores. And Vincent has written a new song for him. It's really catchy. I'm like, oh my God, here we go.
Be careful in Arkansas.
Well, yes, I used to live in Missouri, and I went to college in Michigan for a while, and I was actually born in Amarillo, Texas, but we moved pretty soon after that. when I was two or so. So I, yeah, I've,
you're familiar then.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's, while we're talking about that, let's kind of go back. What I was wondering is, did you start out as an actress, not as a singer, though, right?
Right. I started out writing plays as a kid and putting them on in my backyard and garage and at school. And then, you know, as I came up through the years, I'd audition for various shows in the community or at school and then, you know, went to school for it. And I spent most of my life working on stage, either as an actress or a director or, you know, teaching acting. But I, you know, around the time, 2010, 2009, I thought, you know, I was sick of working in offices, and I worked in offices like in high tech and some other things, so that I could do my theater habit at night. And I just thought, you know what, maybe I'll try to make camera work, camera acting, my 9-to-5. Well, it didn't turn out that way,
yeah.
But that it was still a good experiment. You know, I was in the middle of some crazy little indie film in San Jose, California, where I was living, and I'm waiting between takes, and I'm playing a really crazy character. And this little voice goes off in my, and they're setting up the lights for the next scene, and this voice goes off in my head and goes, well, this is all very well, but I'd really rather be home painting. And I was like, oh, shit, that's me. That's my voice. But I, you know, I came to it through acting. And you may have heard, you know, Tom talk about this as well. I mean, he's, you know, a jazz pianist. He does all kinds of Broadway tunes, and he accompanies all kinds of singers and shows. And he's done a little bit of acting. So he came to this, you know, we Googled each other back in the end of 2009 when the internet was a bit of a different place. And he was like, oh, shit, she's a Shakespearean actress and a director and blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, shit, he's a real singer and pianist. He has his own trio in
match.
San Francisco. I can't sing in front of this guy. And then we got together, and we confessed how we felt, and we were like, girl, I got your back.
So you guys met before the movie then?
No, not really, no.
Okay,
no, we met once we were cast. And, you know, I asked Vincent, I go, so who's playing Moose? And he goes, oh, this guy named Tom Shaw, you can probably find him on the internet. And I was like, okay.
So were you, you've been in quite a few movies, actually, but did you do any, you probably sang like on some Broadway stuff and like that, haven't you, before?
Well, I didn't do any shows on any major circuits, but I went to San Jose State and Michigan State, and Michigan State's kind of a Big Ten college. I was there when Magic Johnson was there, actually. In fact, when he quit, you know, and went into, you know, professional sports. But, we did like Three Penny Opera and some other things where I sang. And I did some shows with, theaters in San Jose where I sang, but, you know, that wasn't my emphasis at all.
Right. So why San Jose?
Yeah.
Did you go out to LA and just not like it, or?
You know, I never really decided to go to New York or L.A. It was one of those things that was in the back of my mind, and I shoulda, coulda, woulda. But I had so much to do where I was. San Jose was one of those places. I was living there a long time. A girlfriend and I bought a house together because, honestly, we weren't with anybody we wanted to buy a house with. So, but
yeah.
It's, well, let's just do this. And then, you know, I'd been doing theater in that area, and it was, people would call me up and say, hey, I got a role for you, or, you know, you don't have to come to call to auditions, just come to callbacks. And that's pretty seductive, I guess. I had as much to do in theater as I wanted, and I was getting some great roles. And I kind of thought, well, you know, and I had friends who went to LA and New York and came back and said, honestly, I have more fun at the local level.
Yeah,
I thought, that's interesting.
I'm that way out here in the, you know, Salt Lake City area. When I'm from Atlanta and I go back there, it's hard to, you know, there's so many musicians. It's harder for me to get a gig in Atlanta where I'm from than it is here. I'm booked every weekend here in Utah. So,
isn't that funny? Yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, my ex and I moved to a little town called Rio Vista. It's just off the Sacramento River.
Right.
And it was like 90 miles away from San Jose, and I still had things going on in San Jose. I had a brother who was still alive at that point that needed, you know, some care. And so I was making that 90-mile trek back and forth, you know, and it was 90 minutes in good traffic, which was rare.
Yeah, you know, and,
yeah, so that was kind of hard. And when, you know, when my ex and I broke up, I thought, you know, I kept passing this little town, Pleasanton, which is kind of sweet. And I thought, God, I was always driving past it going, if I lived there, I'd be home now. So that's where I settled. I'm kind of in what's called the East Bay area. And really, you know, if traffic is good, I can reach almost anything I want outside of, you know, Pleasanton, you know, in 35 to 50 minutes, including San Francisco, if conditions are right.
Yeah.
So kind of like it. But, yeah, you know, I pretty much did theater. I did do, since 2010, more and more camera projects. So I've been in some commercials and indie films and a few TV episodes and whatnot. If you ever see I Almost Got Away With It, I play a victim in two different episodes from 2010 and then one in 2013.
Did you guys do any, did any of the films make it to the Sundance Film Festival out here where I'm at?
No. Well, not that I'm aware of. I did do, I did a web series, and a web series is like a TV series, but it's on the internet. And I did one for this guy, Alan Massa. It was called The Smiths, and I did two episodes for him several years ago. And then last year, he had me come and do an episode for a new thing he's got called, it's by the Comedy Snack Shack.
Okay.
And, yeah, and so I played like a, I don't know, some kind of guru or something, and which was sort of similar to what I did for him before. I'm kind of like, really, a guru again? All right. So, but that has gone to a bunch of little comedy short festivals and has been a finalist or whatever at a bunch of them. But at the time that we did Chickens in the Shadows, the movie that Toasters and Moose is from, I think it was way ahead of its time because it seems like people are cottoning on to it now. But back then, Vincent sent it everywhere and it was rejected everywhere.
Yeah, it was less online presence then, I guess, with things like that. But now people kind of seek that stuff out online. They don't even watch TV anymore. So,
well, yeah. I mean, there is kind of more freedom from, you know, just network programming. So that's, you know, that's kind of exciting in many ways.
Now, back to the whole Taste the Biscuit thing. Did you guys didn't write that song, though, right?
No, we did not. Vincent Gargiulo, who is on all the social media, it's Gargiulo. He's the guy that wrote the script. He wrote the music. He wrote the lyrics. He has a band called Vincent Gargiulo National Park. They just came out with an album last year. And he just filmed something called Dark Crusader, where he plays the title character. And actually, Tom and I and a bunch of people I know play small parts in that, not Toasters and Moose. I think Tom is like a very corrupt mayor of Stockton, and I'm a grumpy-ass amusement park manager, his boss, as a matter of fact. And so he's a busy guy. He's like an office manager by day, and you know.
Now why Toasters and Moose? Where did that come from?
Oh man, you'd have to ask Vincent. I think it just appealed to him at the time. You know, it was, and he kind of loves the absurd. I mean, he has a real sympathy for people that, you know, you can see moments of pathos or, you know, compassion or whatever, even for these loopy characters in his movies. But he kind of loves playing with the absurd. So, you know, Don Allen, our manager, our erstwhile manager in the film, says, well, a kitchen appliance and a wild game make beautiful music. I'm like, well, I can't argue with that logic, I guess. Anyway, so Toasters and Moose, I think, just sounded kind of cool to him. And the whole KFC thing, I think, you know, he was 28 and probably eating a lot of fast food. And, you know, he wanted to combine music and a movie. And that seemed the cheapest way to do it.
Now, do you guys, I know you guys go online, you and Tom do live shows. Like, how, is that like, do you have a schedule for that or?
We sort of had, but a lot of things, I mean, Tom is very busy and then I had a bunch of stuff going on. In fact, I quit teaching acting for a few reasons, but one of them was that, you know, I knew I was going to have gigs coming up and I knew we were going to start doing these live shows. And, I had been teaching like 4 days a week after school, teaching acting for grade school kids. And I went, you know, I gotta cut the cord and move on here. So right now we're kind of playing catch as catch can. We try to have a live once a week. It's looking like Tuesdays or Thursdays are usually when we're able to do it.
Yeah, I catch a lot of them. What about the time? It seems like it's usually around noon or?
Yeah, that's what people have, you know, it seems to work out for a fair number of people. And there's a guy, I think you may know him from Twitter, John Lacey. He's in Australia, and he tunes in almost every time, even though it's 2 or 3 in the morning there.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys go, I know I've seen it on Instagram and TikTok.
TikTok, yeah, yeah.
So do you guys usually do those, like, simultaneous feeds?
So what we do is usually noon time, Pacific time, at noon on TikTok, and then 1 p.m., again, Pacific time, on Instagram. And it's interesting because the Instagram following has just, like, burst open, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't know what was going to happen, and people were like, boom, 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 you know, adding, you know, jumping right in on it. So that's been kind of fascinating.
As funny as the song is, the first thing you notice is the talent. You actually have a really great voice, and Tom's, you know, Tom's of course talented too. And, you know, you're not just standing there singing, you're moving and the whole thing. So it's kind of a, people can see the talent behind the comedy.
Well, and I think in a way we're not exactly like our characters, although, you know, Tom says he was a little bit like Moose back then. And I know I had been somewhat like Toasters earlier. And so to play a character that was like dangerously close to what I was trying to get away from was like, okay. But, you know, we're obviously, you know, different people today for sure. But I think one of the things that people do love about Chickens in the Shadows and Toasters and Moose is that one, the production value of Chickens in the Shadows is very old school, kind of comfortable. It's kind of nostalgic. And both Toasters and Moose, you know, Mark and Marcy, their real names, are flawed but sincere. They're flawed but earnest. And I think people relate to that, and they're not, you know, they don't have an axe to grind or anything like that.
Right.
But when we did, right after the movie came out, there's that scene, if you've seen it, where just before we sang Taste the Biscuit in the thrift store in Los Banos, we're sitting around waiting for Don Allen, our manager, to come back, and some cute girl approaches Tom and says, she thinks he's homeless, and she says, would you like a bite of my sandwich? And he grabs it, throws it, and says, I'm not homeless. And so many people like that Vincent did it, a high production value, a really high production music video of "I'm Not Homeless."
And you know why that scene really connected with me is quite a few years back in Florida. Back in the 90s, I went to Florida with a couple, and we were all staying in the same hotel. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, they decided to, you know, they wanted to do what couples do, and they kind of wanted me to get out of the room for a minute. So it's 2 in the morning.
Right.
I go down to the beach, and this guy from some church comes up and hands me a sack lunch. He thinks I'm homeless on the beach and hands me a sandwich. And so I connected with that right off.
I mean, you know, we, a number of us I think you live long enough, you get a moment like that in life and go, oh.
And, you mentioned live shows, which is what I was going to ask you about, if you guys ever did it live. And I kind of thought you said you did, but how is that going? Is it just the two of you, and is it like small theaters, or?
Well, so what we've done so far, a few screenings in the last couple years, like in San Francisco, and then there was one on Zoom. It was kind of a bi-coastal thing with these guys in New York. And so we didn't really perform that so much. We did go to Austin. I'm pretty sure we mentioned it. We went to Austin last year. Yeah. Terry Crews, the host of America's Got Talent, invited us to play at this private party he was throwing in Austin at South by Southwest. And we were mind blown. Apparently also playing would be Armani White, who's a really good rapper. And then Thundercat, who's a pretty incredible musician. We didn't know who either one of them was. So I Googled these guys and went, holy crap. And, you know, basically Armani White opened for us and we opened for Thundercat. And I'm listening to this guy going, oh my God, he's like Chick Corea combined with, you know, la, 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 la.
Yeah.
And so we were like, whew. But, you know, we had like a 30-minute set and we played all our songs. It was funny because, you know, both their acts were pretty hip. You know, they're black musicians. And we come out and the whole crowd kind of looks at us friendly, right? You know, 600 people. But they're looking at us like, oh, they're old. They're cute. They're white. What the hell do they do? So it's like, hello, Austin. You know, we launched into I'm Not Homeless, and people started clapping and dancing. And we did Where's My Underpants and, you know, all this other stuff.
You don't do, like, the request thing live like you do on...
Oh, on live?
Yeah.
Well, no. For that, it is kind of a set, and that's kind of what the people are paying for. We had a couple of prospective gigs that... have had to be rescheduled, so we'll see if those happen. One was here in the Bay Area. One was supposedly going to be in Las Vegas, and then another one was going to be like in, I don't know, South Carolina or something like that. But we do have another one coming up. I'm just waiting to hear more details about it. But it is kind of like people are paying for a set. You know, and you know, with this commercial, we're going to be in the thrift stores, but we'll be singing this new song about goodwill.
Now, are you guys writing these songs, the new ones?
No, yeah, Vincent is. Vincent is definitely the writer. They're his music and his intellectual property, if you will. So he's been really good about saying, okay, I know you guys are doing your live shows and stuff like that, and we do cover songs. We, you know, like you've seen on our live show, somebody will request something. If we're able to do it on the spot, we do. If not, we mention it, because when we look at the videos later, the comments are no longer there. So we'll say things out loud and then go, oh, okay, yeah, that person requested whatever. And if it's a good request and something we can really hop on, you know, in the next week or two, we'll do that.
Yeah, I requested the Archie Bunker theme, and you guys threw it right out. I was just joking, and you guys threw it right out at me. I think that would go over good live, just the whole request thing. Tom seems like he knows every song in the world.
He does. And by threw it out, you mean that we did it right then and there?
Online.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was fun, and actually, he and I have kind of played around doing it, and he's like, oh my God, you do a great Edith Bunker. And I'm like, oh, I gotta go with my strength, huh?
Yeah, it's hilarious. That's the one thing about that show you can probably still do that doesn't offend someone,
right? Yeah, this is true. Yeah, Edith was
people couldn't watch show these days.
They probably wouldn't, although it does kind of have a following online, though it's, you know, it's clearly about, you know, a guy who's, you know, trapped in mid-century values, but.
Yeah, you gotta, it's all perspective if you know what he's trying to do with it.
Well, yeah, and I think the whole point was to, you know, poke fun at or poke holes in that kind of character.
Yeah.
You know? So
we all knew people like that back in the day.
Oh my God, yes.
And I don't know if you'd be comfortable answering this, but are you guys able to even profit at all off of the Toasters and Moose thing, or like the merch and stuff?
We do around Christmas time. Those last 2 months, like last year, after things had kind of built up a little more steam, we did make a little money off of, not great amounts, but we made a few hundred bucks a piece off of T-shirts and cups and blankets and whatnot. But where we, Tom and I really made some money, and I'm hoping, and I don't want to go off on too big a tangent, but I'm hoping that Vincent is finally getting paid for his song being played all over the place, because ASCAP was really behind the wheel on that one, just, you know, behind the eight ball. They really did not know how to handle the social media replays at all. But we, to this day, I mean, even now, Tom and I, you know, at least make gas and grocery money from cameo requests.
Yeah, there's got to be a good, there's got to be some, you know, you make money off TikTok. I know a girl in my town here,
it's
all she does
small,
is
though.
Country songs. She makes money.
Yeah.
She's not even
well,
a singer.
Actually, we make maybe pennies and dollars. We don't make a lot of money off the lives themselves, but people do go and request birthday, congratulations, graduation, advice. Pep talks, all kinds of stuff.
Do you guys have the, I'm trying to think of the website now, where you, what is it called? Where they call, where you record a birthday wish or what, you know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, that's Cameo. That's Cameo. If you can either get on the website or you can get the app, it's actually a little cheaper on the website, it turns out, because Apple, if you go through Apple Pay.
Let's go ahead and give all that now where you can find you guys.
Yeah. So it's Cameo, C-A-M-E-O. If you go through Apple Pay, they will take a huge chunk out of it. And then, of course, you know, Cameo takes their chunk out as well. But you can either go through the app or through the website. You can then, sometimes we have 24-hour turnaround turned on, but because Tom and I live an hour away from each other, it's hard to find a time to fulfill a request like that. So usually we're given 7 days to complete a request, and we, you know, and then he does cameos himself, and I do, because we each have our separate accounts. So you can find Toasters or Stell Piper on there. You can find Tom Shaw or Moose on there. But we get the most requests for the two of us, and it'll be for anniversaries or somebody has a new job or somebody just lost their job, you know, or maybe some advice, maybe a pep talk, an encouragement. We've had some pretty sad stories where, you know, somebody's got cancer again and they're back in the hospital and we're like, whoa. But you just, you know, you get into your heart and tell them, you know, what you really, you know.
Yeah, no, believe it or not, I have about, I usually get about 3,000 to 3,200 listeners on this show average. So hopefully some of those people will take advantage of that opportunity. Mm-hmm.
That'd be wonderful. We love doing them. I mean, you know, what I really love is telling actually a friend of mine, the one I was chatting with just before we got on the horn here, that I love being able to make people happy. You know,
I think you've done that for sure. More people than you'll probably ever know.
And that's great. And then to get paid for it on top of that is like, wow, thanks, universe.
Now, here's my idea. Now, here's my idea. Toasters and Moose biscuits. You got to get the actual biscuits in the grocery store.
Right.
That's probably true.
We have to talk to Vincent about that, you know, and he's got his hands full. He's editing that film, and he's also writing up this commercial thing and blah, blah.
Now, if you can do a gluten-free biscuit, you'd be even better.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, if there were two versions of it, you know, the regular and then the gluten-free, because some people are bound and determined to eat that gluten.
Yeah.
But, that actually, in fact, it's funny, we don't get a lot of, what do you call that when you get a bag full of merchandise at an award show?
Oh, yeah.
Swag. swag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but somebody sent us coffee cups just today, and then this 50-plus-year-old famous in Nashville, apparently, cafe, the Loveless Cafe, and one of the things they're famous for are their biscuits, and at Christmas time, they sent both Tom and me each their biscuit flour, a big bag of their biscuit mix, and sorghum syrup, and three different kinds of homemade jams. I was like, oh my God.
You know how you know how over in England and, you know, the UK, the biscuits are like the little cookies, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You guys got to do a version for them.
Oh my God.
You got to dress up like the queen or something and do.
I love that. I'll do like Julianne's, taste the biscuits.
You got to do one for them.
Goodness of the biscuits. What's that?
So you got to do one for the UK guys.
We do. We got a lot of followers in the UK, and I just love it when they're able to tune in, you know.
Everybody knows who you guys are. I mean, even here in Utah where I'm at, it's not the most populated place, but everybody knows you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
so funny because I'll go walking down the street wherever. I mean, I was just in Las Vegas for a couple of days, and nobody ever goes, oh, my God, you're the biscuit lady. But I do look a little different than I did in the film. So, you know, maybe that's part of it. But,
a little bit. Yeah, your hair is longer.
Yeah, and I'm a little older.
you don't look old at all.
Well, thank you. But you know, yeah, people tune in from South Africa and whatnot for our live shows, and I just go, wow.
I'm gonna see about I sometimes help book a theater here, and I'm gonna start trying to connect this thing up and get you guys here.
Yeah, because here's the deal. People go, gosh, can you come here? Well, Vincent is our acting manager for now, but he's one. He's got a life and a creative life. And so we don't have a manager per se who's out there trying to get gigs for us. But if somebody wants to book us, we will go. You know, if they can get us there and, you know, the venue and all that good stuff, then heck yeah,
I've got a venue I deal with quite a bit here at theater that might actually work out. I'll talk to you about that off the show.
But great.
But anyway, I've kept you enough time now. But I appreciate you. You're one of my favorite people, and you're beautiful and talented. And I'm glad to know you, and I appreciate you calling into my little show here.
Well, you are beautiful and talented too. I love what little I get to hear on the media, and I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, and the best way for someone to contact you is how, if they want to.
Well, if they want to what?
If they want to book you or what, even buy a T-shirt, okay, or whatever.
Okay, so they can probably DM me, you know, personal message me on, Tom and Vincent and I are all on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter are probably the ones we're on the most. And, you know, to DM us, if it's for a gig, we're going to get Vincent involved, you know, but you can DM any of us, and then, you know, we'll just take it from there and, you know, see where it goes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like I said, this show, I'm just kind of cranking it back up, but it, you know, regular 3,000 people and a lot of all over the place, really. I get a lot of listeners from Australia and Ireland and Canada and stuff, but
sweet. Great.
A lot of independent musicians I have on here, but I really appreciate it. And I will, I'll talk to you soon. I'll let you know when this is going to come out, and we'll talk about maybe doing that show at the theater here.
That sounds great. And hello, all y'all out there. And Jeff, thank you so much. You are so sweet.
Oh, well, I appreciate you. I'll talk to you real soon.
Anytime, hon. Let us know.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, sweetie.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
and you're going to love my nuts.